Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the Big K Morning Show. Thanks for choosing us, Larry Richard, with Marty Griffin, and a very important conversation.
Well, I mean, outside of Pittsburgh, teen violence, Larry, teen shootings up about 40% around the country, teen homicides up around 30% around the country. Larry, you know this, my man. We talk about this twice a week.
Yeah, and
honestly,
if you pay attention to the news, every night of the week there's another young person shot or being shot in some part of our community.
Think of how much time, Larry, we've talked about the Schuman Center, man. Seriously. And how much time we spent with judges and lawyers and cops. We don't know what to do about this. It is one of the biggest problems facing America today. It really is. Love the fact that we have this wonderful, wonderful opportunity to try and find some clarity. Good morning, Doctor. How are you?
Good morning, Marty. How are you doing?
Fabulous.
We're with Dr. Daniel Salahuddin, and a psychiatrist and a doctor with UPMC, and working very closely with the Stow Rocks Family Health Center.
Love it.
Specifically about gun violence and traumatic stress. And as Marty suggested, Doctor, this is such a critical issue. And what can be done to help curb this violence?
Yeah, so thank you so much for having me on. And so what you're asking is a critical question. And so one of the things that's really important to keep in mind is that gun violence does not happen in a vacuum. That means that gun violence does not just occur in isolation. There are so many factors that contribute to gun violence. And when we take a look at actually the driving factors that contribute to gun violence, a lot of them boil down to factors within our environment. So access to safe housing, educational opportunities for secure employment, education, food, access to food. So all of these things that fulfill our basic needs as human beings, when that is not being really fostered, or when there's a void in that, then that can be really, really, that can set the stage for a lot of, that can set the stage for gun violence.
Hey, Doctor, I think we have to be fair about this too. We always get this is what they do, this is how they act, and what they're doing is making racial comments about kids in black communities. But in fact, I always say this, every single mass shooting in America trails back to a white kid in a successful family in a flourishing neighborhood. So this isn't just about poor black kids, is it, sir?
Not at all. Gun violence is an issue that affects all of us. And I think that is the big thing that needs to be drawn from this conversation. This is an issue that is impacting everyone. Certainly there are disproportionate rates of who is impacted by gun violence, and that needs to be paid attention to. But at the same time, we need to make sure that we are aware of the fact that gun violence impacts all of us, and that we are collectively living in a society that sets the tone that allows for that to happen.
Hey, Doc, this is such a big area. It's like someone saying to an oceanographer, hey, man, map the entire ocean. You know, I mean, it's such a big problem. How the hell do you drill down on this, Doc? And what do you focus on to try and find some reasonable solutions and a pathway to some kind of success here?
Yeah, absolutely. So currently, again, this is a huge task. And so by no means is this going to be solved by a one solution. You know, this is a multi-layered issue with so many different variables, so entrenched in the history of this country. When we talk about different policies, when we talk about racism, when we talk about redlining, there's so many aspects at play here. I can share a little bit more about some of the work that I'm doing from the mental health standpoint to try to address the issue. And so I'm currently working on a project that's looking to increase the community-based supports for mental health services for individuals who have been impacted by gun violence. So currently, we have a great infrastructure for hospital-based violence intervention programs. That's to say, if an individual is hospitalized or in the emergency room following a firearm injury, they do a really good job of connecting that patient with resources to be able to prevent retaliation or mitigate or decrease the situation, de-escalate, I should say, but also to help the patient be able to be on the best path moving forward. The issue is, a lot of times, you know, these folks, when they're in the hospital, are in shock. You know, if you've just been shot, you may be dealing with a physical injury. You may not even be aware of any mental health needs that you may have, even if a psychiatrist or a social worker or a therapist is coming to you at the bedside in the hospital. That may not necessarily sink in as a need for you until 3 months, 6 months, even years down the line, because that's just the nature of trauma, specifically if they were to manifest like anxiety, depression, or post-traumatic stress disorder. And so the goal of my project is to really be able to talk with different organizations in the community who are working on addressing gun violence and see how we can, number one, address these upstream drivers that are influencing gun violence. So that's what I was mentioning earlier about the housing policy, education, food insecurity, so basic human needs, how we address that, but also creating an infrastructure and a mental health system that is really designed for individuals who have been impacted by gun violence, who are experiencing the effects of chronic marginalization and racism in our society in a way that is accessible and also meets them where they are. Because having been in mental health even though it has not been too long at this point, still relatively early in my career, I have seen enough through personal and professional experiences to know that the mental health system, while it helps a lot of folks, it can also leave a lot of folks behind.
What do you suggest that individuals do? I'm familiar with the Neighborhood Resilience Project in the Hill District.
That priest is your friend. He's a fantastic.
Father Paul Abernathy, have a trauma team that goes out in the community after a shooting, because it's not just the victims and their immediate family. The community is traumatized
Absolutely.
By this gun violence.
Absolutely. Gun violence leaves ripples. So it's not just the person who is directly impacted. It's the people who are witnessing the violence. It's the people. Even, you know, one of the things, I'm talking to a lot of community leaders over the course of this project, and one of the most poignant things that was said is that the gun fires both ways. And so we are not even, I think as a society, we're so quick to dismiss perpetrators of gun violence, where at the same time, it could be either one, you know, it could be either one. Oftentimes it does end up being that way, unfortunately. And so that's something that we have to continue to keep in mind. But also, you know, there are families, communities. So it truly leaves ripple effects that are felt throughout. And one of the other things that leads to, unfortunately, what we found is, you know, when there's been so much violence, has been so pervasive, that leads to such a deep sense of grief that becomes deeply intertwined with chronic trauma. And that leads to a concerning pattern of the normalization of gun violence. And so it's almost like the more this happens, the more numb we become to it, because of the fact that, you know, humans can only take so much. And so we have different ways of, our nervous system has different ways of protecting us.
Where can people reach out to learn more about your work?
So a great way to learn about my work is so Neighborhood Resilience Project, they are one of our community partners. And so they are absolutely one of the biggest champions there. And so I would say that they would be the organization to reach out to learn more directly. But rest assured, this work, once I'm finished with the project, I will certainly be out in the community, and we'll be discussing the findings. I want everybody to really be aware of what's going on, how we can continue to move forward together in a way that includes all of us, and make sure that we are all accepting our part and contributing towards solution to this massive issue.
Dr. Daniel Salahuddin, psychiatrist, UPMC, and Stow Rocks Family Health Center. Thank you for the work you're doing.
Yeah, Doc.
On behalf of all
of us.
We
love that you care so much, man. It's very, very cool.
No problem. Thank you so much for having me.
And you can learn more by the neighborhoodresilience.org. If you go to that website, they are connected, as the doctor indicated, the family and trauma that goes along with this is something that we all need to be focused on. And these people are out there every day trying to make a difference. Not only can you listen, obviously, to the radio here at KDK, but you can watch the Ireland Contracting video feed. Easy to access. Go to kdkradio.com. Click on the Watch KDK Radio live stream, and you're in. Meanwhile, Marty, you've spent a lot of time downtown, and I know we played a little bit back from a conversation with a major stakeholder yesterday, Aaron Stauber, who owns the Golf Tower, and hopefully some encouraging news there. But you also spent time with Bethany Hallam.
She's cool, and people don't want to hear that. They think she's an idiot and a moron and all sorts of other things, and that's their business. I really don't give a crap, as you know. I watched her in action because we were live downtown for a couple hours, and I'll tell you what, Larry, you know, you can hate her all you want, and that's fine. And she doesn't mind that, by the way. But it was compelling, my man. It was very organic to see this, walking the streets downtown with her. And I'm not kidding you. The homeless people knew her by name. You know why? Because she takes care of them. Now, for all the morons who don't care about homeless people, go to hell. And I mean that. I met this young woman, she was ashamed about her existence and had this massive burn wound on her foot, Larry. You think, God, it was hard to see. It was so deep. And she fell asleep against a space heater in a tent, man, and had third-degree burns. And then she says to me, and this is all live, and they're all surrounding Bethany because she takes care of them. And the woman has a recluse spider bite. And look, I don't know squat about this stuff, but that can get ugly. Had no way of getting it treated. She knew Bethany's name. They asked Bethany for water. She got them water. She passes out medical supplies and food, and two nights a week sits there at a table. All I'm saying is this. Name another politician who does that in this town. Name one, Larry. Fitz? No. Sarah? No. Summerlee, please. Gainey, they don't know their names. Look, I'm not saying she's perfect, but neither am I. But what I'm suggesting is we get these impressions of people, then we like to burn them down every day. But at the end of the day, what I saw was motivating and compelling as hell. And I get beat up for this. How dare you? How the hell can you like that woman? I don't give a crap that you think I'm a jerk, because I watched something amazing happened. She gives a damn. And I think most people don't give a damn.
Well, we're going to talk to her about it right after the news at 9. I'm fascinated by, you know, the yin and the yang about around her. She's very controversial.
It's a great point, Larry. And you said something, too, to Raz. These cities are becoming what they call doom loops. And St. Louis, as you mentioned, was one of them. And one example in St. Louis, the biggest building in that town is completely empty, and that sucks. And I don't think we'll let that happen in Pittsburgh. I just don't see it happening, brother.
And I hope you're right. And meeting stakeholders like Aaron Stauber,
oh, that's cool,
who wants to make a difference and put his money where his mouth
that's right,
is.
Brother.
And every Thursday at this time, we check in with a good doctor, Mike Hutchinson of Animal General. LaSalle Plaza in Cranberry. Doc, good morning.
Good morning. How's it going?
Good. Right off the top, Missy and Tom want to know, and Marty and Christine, too. We had our dog's hair analyzed. Find out he is allergic to many environmental pollens and foodstuffs. Is there a shot that will help relieve these symptoms? He's suffering year-round now, itching, hair loss, and infections. And Marty, you've talked about
it's legit.
Your dog Rosie. And
it's legit, man.
Dr. Mike, this is something that you're familiar with.
Yeah, the hair analysis, I'm not so sure I believe everything I get back on those reports. They do some allergy testing just like they do in humans.
Right.
And some blood tests that I have more faith behind. But you can try to desensitize them with immunotherapy just like they do in people. But when they're allergic to food, too, you have to find those foods. So a food allergy is rare. It's usually a food sensitivity. That's a whole different reaction. And you avoid those foods that are causing it. So hopefully you got a list of those things that you can try to avoid. And then we have, you know, medications, antihistamines, antibiotics, steroids, stronger immunosuppressants, you know, things that suppress the allergy reaction like cyclosporine. I know it's a nightmare when they get allergic to everything under the sun. Air purifiers help a lot indoors. And then topical treatments, shampoos, you know, medicated wipes or leave-on conditioners. Unfortunately, when they're allergic to everything under the sun, it's going to take a lot of checkups because we try to manage those dogs. There's no cure for that, so it's management. And we call that atopy, atypical dermatitis. They're allergic to everything under the sun.
Yeah, you know, and I know this is about us, but I think why I love him is that I didn't know any of this stuff. Our dog gets up every morning, and the first thing she does, Larry, is the itching for about 20 minutes. And I feel bad for the dog. And as he said, there isn't an easy answer, is there, Doc?
No, there isn't. And sometimes, you know, if they're not allergic to food or don't have food sensitivities, I keep saying allergic, if they don't have food sensitivities, sometimes we can give them a shot like Cytopoint, some people have heard of that, or Apoquel, a pill that is tremendous. They're not steroids, and they give them relief, but it doesn't cure the allergy. They still have the underlying condition.
All right, let's go to Pete. Dear Dr. Mike, is it safe that my dog eats the cat's food quite a bit? We try to stop it, but he wears us out with his stealthiness and getting to the cat's bowl. I think dogs just, man, they'll do anything to get a taste.
Yeah, that and the litter, the cat litter too. So I always say that you should elevate the, you know, bowls for the cats if they're not old. I mean, we want to make sure they can get to it, but or use a barrier to prevent access by the dog, because a little bit isn't bad, but cat's food's formulated differently. It has more fat in it than what dogs require, and different vitamins and minerals in different ratios than what dogs require. So if that consumption is prolonged, they can end up getting obese and have nutrient imbalances that you don't want. So a little bit isn't bad. I mean, it's, you know, it doesn't hurt them. But long term that you're mentioning, I would try to avoid that. And I would move that food or feed them in separate areas.
Trish and Jeff and Castle Shannon want to know, do dogs and cats get cavities like people? I'm asking because I am seeing a spot on my dog's tooth. Looks like a cavity. I've never heard anyone ask you this question before.
Yeah, and I think you're right. I don't think so. But, yeah, they can get cavities. It's not as common as we see in people because they're not eating sugar, things like that all the time. But, yeah, they can, and you have to have them checked out. They also get what we call periodontal disease, where they get tartar and plaque buildup on their teeth, and it will push up under the gums and cause gingivitis and infection, and that's what we call periodontal disease. And some dogs, you know, they're chewing on rocks or things, and they fracture their teeth, and that can lead to cavities as well because it exposes a different part of the tooth. So have that checked out by your vet. It shouldn't be a big deal. Like I said, it's not real common for them to get cavities, but the answer is yes, they can.
Hey, man, this is in real time. Last night, our dog kind of sort of freaked out, and I know this is common with all that lightning, brother. If what do you recommend for folks if that starts happening? We tried to calm her down and actually worked. What do you recommend? Because dogs do get really shook up by this.
Yeah, you know, that's a real common problem. Frightening from thunderstorms.
Yep.
We're going to see a lot more of that. And then fireworks will come into the play. So there are some things that we use as natural sedatives, and you have to plan that because if a thunderstorm comes up, it's too late. If we know there's thunderstorms coming, we might be able to give them a sedative or a natural tranquilizer that works. But you have to test them because dogs have individual variations. And I have a whole list of things that people can try that I hand out to them. It's just a natural sedative list. And then you can go down that list and try each one of them. If one of them works, you got a home run.
We always appreciate you,
yeah,
Doc.
That's great stuff, man.
And it's tick time with the grasses growing. They're everywhere. So, Doc, go to his website. You've got great information and podcasts on how to deal with that. And we'll talk to you next Thursday.
All right. Sounds good. You guys have a great weekend.
The good Dr. Mike Hutchinson, Animal General, LaSalle Plaza and Cranberry. Go to kdkradio.com. We'll give you a link to animalgeneral.net. On your way home this afternoon, check out Rick Dayton's Drive at 5, top stories of the day. Every weekday afternoon brought to you by ServiceMaster of Greater Pittsburgh. When disaster strikes, demand the yellow van.
You mentioned the show tomorrow we're doing from Oakmont Bakery. Here's what I love. Look, I'm biased about Sorayo, and you know this. So is Larry. We love the guy. He's an amazing man. And he took a lot of crap. They made people him into a demon because of this. Ended up being a load of crap, this strawberry crap. But using tomorrow as an example, he has been an insane advocate for this absolutely amazing woman's shelter, okay, where they protect battered women, women caught up in human trafficking. And it's not enough that Mark and his wife have written insane checks to open this joint. And I've been in there. It's beautiful. And by the way, last year, because of our show, a woman wrote them a $75,000 check, which is cool. But Mark sends me a note yesterday saying, we're going to raise 10 grand tomorrow and I'll match every single dollar. So my point is everybody likes to pick on him about this lie about stealing strawberries, which is ignorant. But what I'm saying is behind the scenes, along with making pretty cool donuts, all they do is make a difference.
Well, he's an example and an excellent example of a person, a family that's passionate about what they do.
Yep.
They've taken it to a degree that nobody thought was possible.
Yep.
They built this iconic brand, and few people here and there try to take you down.
They love
you're
to do
on
that.
Top,
right? Right.
And they couldn't do it.
No, they couldn't. In fact, he's stronger. The sales are up at least 20%.
Caused him a lot of stress.
Oh yeah.
But in the end, he was completely vindicated and shown to be the good man that he has.
Well, there's a woman
been.
Who's dying from cancer who sends me a note. She wants a cake of all things, which I find to be fantastic and charming. And I send him a note. We need a cake for 100 people. You tell me exactly what you want. I'll make it. Just tell me when you're going to pick it up. All I'm suggesting is, that's why I love this town, because there's so much of that out there. And they're a shining example of that. And we're going to talk about human trafficking and how we can help stop this madness. So he doesn't just want to talk about his donuts tomorrow. He wants to talk about helping people and human trafficking.
He wants to use the spotlight to help battered women.
Right on, brother.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.